May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
I must say, you do look fine this morning. It's good to be home. I wonder, what is your resurrection story? 2 weeks ago, we formally celebrated Easter, the Mass of the Resurrection. But Easter has not ended. It's only the new beginning of Paschal Tide. Our initial scripture reading that came from the Acts of the Apostles begins after what happens in the Gospel. It's where the effects of the resurrection continues, with a man who experienced a resurrection story beyond what he could ever have dreamt. This morning's reading from Acts starts us in the middle of the story with the Apostle Peter addressing a crowd. Here is the background you need to understand what you heard. Peter and John are part of the early church. Daily they went to the temples, shared meals, and worshiped with other followers of Jesus regularly. Their meetings were filled with joy, and the church continued to grow. Peter has had an incredible ministry where crowds are coming to Christ. This particular day, he and John go up together to the temple yet again, and it's about 3 p.m. in the afternoon. There was a certain man there who had never walked. From his birth over 40 years ago, this man had never taken his first step. His legs were atrophied and dirty. It is ironic that this man's friends placed him lying at the gate called Beautiful when his life was not that. When he sees Peter and John about to go up into the temple, he asks them for money. If you've ever walked by someone who's asked you for money, eye contact does not always occur. The requester knows that it's a numbers game. There's the awareness that not everyone will donate. But in the words of hockey legend Wayne Gretzky, you miss 100% of the shots you do not take. Peter and John were two of the dozens of people who passed by that man that day, people who had likely passed by him all of his life. Why that man was chosen to be healed that day, or why he had not been healed earlier, we don't know. And while people who need healing today are not healed, I don't know that either. And I do want us to be aware that not every disability is a prayer request. Some disabilities are gifts to be cherished, and not every difference among us requires intervention. But that day, in this passage, we know that something had happened to Peter and John, because the gospel told us that they had been holed up in a room hiding behind a locked door. These were not the same men who weeks prior went to the temple with Jesus as he overturned tables. These were not acting like the same men who had slept in a garden instead of praying and being companions with their friend, or betraying Jesus, or who were cowards. These men had changed, transformed, following the death and resurrection of Jesus and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Peter says to this man, lying on the ground by the gate Beautiful, let me have your attention. Look here. Well, if you've ever been a beggar or a solicitor or even a salesman and someone wants your attention, you have the reasonable expectation that you're going to receive something. He was expecting some funds. But Peter says to him, silver and gold I don't have. I am not going to meet your expectation today. What you were planning to get from me, I can't produce. But what I do have, I'm willing to give you. It is truly what you need, but the struggles and pressures of surviving each day, you may no longer realize it, or even imagine that it could be yours. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Then Peter touches him, reaching out his hand and lifting him up, and immediately his feet and ankles receive strength. In his exuberance, he not only walks, but he leaps and he's praising God, and he enters the temple with Peter and John, creating quite a commotion. If you've ever had a nasty ankle sprain or a break, you know how it limits you. It limits the simplest things. Everything has to change when you cannot walk. But once you recover, oh, the joy you feel again is enormous. Imagine how that was multiplied for him, being lifted up, his dead ankles receiving strength, and he was raised to a new life. And the people who had entered through the beautiful gate knew that this was the man who had never walked before, was now walking. Now they were also stunned at what had happened. This man remains with Peter and John as we listen to the scriptures read. Peter was having a wonderful response in the chapter before, and having talked to the crowd before, he asks them now, "Why are you astonished, and why are you looking at us that way?" Peter knew that he and John had no power in themselves to heal this man. Peter's message wasn't that we have a wonderful miracle here, and isn't that lovely? Because signs and wonders can only take us so far. Peter began to share the good news of the risen Christ, starting with their common heritage and ancestry. Reaching way back, Peter speaks of the initial promise God made before they, as the Jews, the nation of Israel, ever crossed the River Jordan into the Promised Land, before they were a people. Peter speaks of the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of their fathers, who had glorified his servant Jesus Christ, the same innocent Jesus they had mistreated, denied, whipped, killed, and asked for a murderer in his place. Peter didn't deny the past or make it something more palatable, but he called them on the carpet for what had happened to Christ, by their yells and also by their silence that gave consent. The one they killed was the creator and originator of life, that even in death by crucifixion could not hold him down. He was raised from the dead. Peter acknowledges that some ignorance was involved and that God knew it would occur, but he also acknowledges that it happened, and that it is through faith in Jesus Christ, the one crucified and raised, that this man who had never walked before walks, dances, and leaps before him today. That wasn't the whole message. They also needed to be reminded that they were children of promise, beloved of God with a purpose that they had also lost sight of in their struggles and pressures of their days, and in doing so, chose death and separation from God. In so many ways, we still choose death. In going to Ghana, I saw my history and the ways people who called themselves Christians chose death for people who were innocent. I am here because my ancestors survived their walk across hot desert sands in iron shackles amid unmentionable brutality and a transatlantic voyage as cargo to a life of perpetual bondage, thanks to laws that Christians wrote and then continued to write to ensure there would never be equality. The current conflagration in the Middle East has exploded into thousands of more deaths, and with the entrance of Iran yesterday, will lead to thousands more. Pay and education inequalities continue, leading to poverty, crime, hopelessness, and health disparities, more death, patterns of destruction that are not life-giving. And we can feel powerless to do anything about it. So we might be tempted to look away, to accept it as the way it is, to make it normal and okay. But this is not normal. This is not okay. This is not what God intended. And the antidote for them in Scripture is the same antidote for us today, to repent and be converted. We don't talk a whole lot about repentance and conversion. Metanoeo and epistrepho, to change one's mind on purpose, to turn around. To change one's mind, one must first see the injustices, tell the truth, and not turn away from them, but turn toward them and toward God. As followers of Christ, repentance and conversion is not a one-time thing. It's a way of life. To live is to change. Daily, we search the scriptures, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us. We live in community where people who truly love us can speak to our blind spots, to our successes and our failures. We spend time in prayer, meditation, in worship, so we can change our minds, soften our hearts, and begin changing our responses. Being on the soil of my possible ancestors was difficult beyond words, and also life-giving. As I learned more, there were times of repentance and conversion, along with grief and great hope. And in looking, walking, worshiping on that holy ground, I could feel new life arise in me, a resurrection of sorts, for what man meant for evil, God has turned for good. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is an ongoing process. God is at work within and among us if we are willing to look and see it. And if we are courageous enough, we just might see something new that leads us into a new and resurrected life. Amen.